100. Psalms 100. That's how old I am. That's right. Yeah. Everybody turn to Psalms 100. Psalms 100. Welcome. Yes. Amen. All right. You got your Bible open to Psalm 100? There's absolutely no reason to be talking if you're looking for a Psalms 100 unless you're counting out loud. Okay. Now, Psalms 100... I don't know if you've noticed these pictures. I won't make a deal of it every week, but it's not a bad thing to notice. And we've got a good brother that's helping with this and does a great thing. I think it's been good for me. Every week since we started that section of the Psalms, that Psalms is called Book 4, right? We started in Psalms 90. And we've been walking through the Psalms. Now we're up to Psalms 100. But every time we've covered one of those Psalms, what we've done is we've picked at least one verse to remember. Now, I haven't insisted that you remember them, haven't pushed you to remember them, but I'm encouraging you to remember them. And we repeat them a couple of times. It's our blessing. It's our prayer. It's our song. Well, Brad is an excellent photographer, obviously, because these are pictures he's taken in his life, and he's also talented enough, he's putting those psalms, those verses that we're trying to remember, those blessings, into that picture, so that when you're just walking around and want to come look at these, or if you are really nice to me, I'll email you one so you can have a copy, because he emails them to me, and I would be glad to email them on to you. Tell me something you remember from one of the psalms that we've read, one of the songs that we've sung, one of the prayers that we've prayed over the last several weeks as we've gone through 90 up to 100. Tell me something you've learned. Tell me something you remember. Do not harden your heart. If you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Now, I'm not going to reteach the lesson, but I can't go past that without reminding you. It is possible. It is possible tonight you're going to hear something that is going to stir in your heart. It's going to make you feel something. It's going to make you think something you hadn't thought in a while, or maybe you never have thought. And it may stir something in you, and you think, boy, I need to do something about that. Don't harden your heart. And I'm confident that can happen. One reason is because what we're going to do is we're going to read God's Word and forget anything I say, forget any illustrations I use, forget any points I make. Just hearing God's Word is enough to stir that in you. So if something stirs in you tonight, if you think of something you hadn't thought before, if you want something you hadn't felt before, then what you do, don't harden your heart. Listen to the Lord. Tell me something else you remember. Wait on God's time. God will take care of things, not going to get it done by Thursday. So sometimes you got to be patient. Sometimes you have to wait on Him. Tell me one more thing. Oh, I love that phrase. Don't you love that one? God will not reject His people. He will not refuse. He will not reject. He will not forget His inheritance. He loves you. He chooses you. He blesses you. And He will not forget you. He will listen to you. Anybody else? The very first one. And that's the one I was going to end with. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on you. Let's say that one is our hope to pray and to ask God to open our hearts as we read Psalms 100. May the faith, well, say it after me, okay? May the favor of the Lord our God, rest on us. Now I'm going to change it to make it personal. May the favor of the Lord our God,
rest on us.
Rest on me.
That's
the way I want to say it. Rest on me. Let's say it together. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on me. I told y'all to turn to Psalms 100 and I forgot. It's sad. Go to the middle of my Bible. Got to pull off my shoes to get to 100. Here we go. Here it is again. Here it is again. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and in His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. Say it. One more time. For the Lord is good. Say it.
For the Lord is good.
And His love endures forever. One more time. And His love endures forever. And His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now, I want you to look at the whole psalm for a second. I want you to tell me every word that describes the attitude, the emotion, the feeling, whatever word you want to pick, what is the attitude of, the emotion of, the feeling of the person who draws near to the presence of God. Find it in the text. Don't make up stuff. I don't want made up stuff, and I don't want church stuff. I want to know what God said.
Joyful.
Joyful. Give me another one.
Gladness.
Gladness. Give me another one.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Give me another one.
Praise.
I think that's it.
Good.
You spot another one?
Good.
Thanksgiving, joyful, gladness, joy. Oh, those four. All right, now, somebody talk to me. These folks lived in the same kind of world. They lived in the same kind of world we live in. All right? Now, they didn't have the same technology, but they had the same kind of messes. There was hunger, and there was homelessness, and there was poverty, and there was worry, and there was sickness, and there was abuse, and there was guilt, and there was fear. It's same kind of stuff that you and I have to deal with. So somebody tell me, and I personal, specific, as best you can, tell me something that is robbing you of your joy, of your gladness, of your thanksgiving, of your praise. Tell me something that is robbing you, bringing you down, wearing you out, that's keeping you from being glad, keeping you from being joyful, keeping you from having thanksgiving in your heart to God. Anybody?
Uncertainty.
Man, uncertainty in the future. And that uncertainty, now let's turn right here a second. Go with what Audie said. Uncertainty comes from where? Sometimes it's us. Sometimes I shift. Sometimes I'm certain one day and not so certain the next day. One day I'm committed to this and the next day I'm not committed to this. So give me another one. Sometimes it's me that causes the uncertainty. What else causes the uncertainty? Like? You didn't know you were going to have a test, but you know. All right, sometimes it's government that makes decisions. Sometimes it's family that makes decisions. Sometimes it's bosses that make decisions. Sometimes it's your own self or friends or the law or the courts or yes, 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 yes. And you and I live in a world where we can't predict. I can't predict what the government's going to do. I can't predict what the judge is going to say. Can't predict what the doctor's going to find. Can't predict what the test results are going to be. I can't predict any of that. But what I can do is He says, I am to come to the Lord with gladness. I'm supposed to find some joy. I'm supposed to be able to find it in this nasty old cheating, hateful, damaging and damning world. I'm supposed to find something to be happy about, to be joyful about, to be glad about, enough to be able to shout to God. How do you do that? Now, I'm going to make you do it first. Tell me one thing that gives you reason in spite of the world you live in spite of the uncertainties that we have, in spite of the guilts and the fears and the frustrations and the angers and all that mess we have. Tell me one thing that gives you reason to shout to God. One thing you are so glad. Your child named Kyrie Love. Lexus and I are just going to call her K-Love. All right? Nobody can take Jesus away from you. If you got Jesus, if you got His Spirit, nobody can take that. It's yours.
Well, for me, and I'm sure it's like this with most parents, my daughter, Michael, gives me the greatest joy, but she's also the cause of my greatest anxiety.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's funny, but it's so true. I can get overwhelmed where I feel like I can't breathe worrying for her and her future.
Don't forget what Aaron just said. Don't forget what Aaron says. We're going to come back to it. We're going to come back to it because that's the point. If I wasn't going to make it, I am now going to make and should have made to begin with. Because that joy we have, because that thrill we have, sometimes the things that cause us the greatest joy can also cause us the greatest heartache. Sometimes the greatest thrill in that child is sometimes the greatest scare in that child, right? So give me one more. That's right. Addison says, amen. Do you call her Addie? Addie. Addie and Caleb. And both of them are so smart, their parents have already put brain tourniquets on their head. So they won't get smarter than their aunts. I said that out loud, didn't I, Alexis? I didn't mean to do that. All right, somebody tell me one more thing that gives you reason in spite of the world we live in spite of the challenges that we face, in spite of the worries that we have, one more thing gives you reason to shout with gladness to the Lord.
Because of His
love. Yeah, hang on. You can't go there.
Being alive today and knowing that I can take a chance.
How about just being alive? Now, folks, we sometimes forget it, right? We sometimes forget it. True. We get accustomed to waking up the next morning. I get accustomed to waking up and being able to go to my refrigerator and open it and find groceries in it. I get accustomed to being able to walk out, start my car, and it starts. I'm accustomed to driving to my job at a place where they let me in and then let me go home when it's over. I like that. I get accustomed to that. And I forget sometimes the most fundamental gift God gives us is just the breathing and the heart beating and the life, living life you have. Until you spent some time maybe homeless, or until you spent some time hungry, or until you spent some time tired and worn out and sick at heart, we may not remember just what a great joy it is just to be alive. Got to tell you the story of some of my boys in jail. Some of them cross the border illegally. They're Mexican nationals, and they get caught crossing the border illegally, carrying not so legal stuff, okay? And a lot of times those boys, they take away the stuff and just send them right back home. But after so many different times, I don't know if there's a number, if there's just a judge that finally has had enough. After so many times, they flip the switch and send that kid to us. And he'll stay away from his family for 2 to 3 years. And what he's done for 2 or 3 years, coming back and forth across the border, has never been any kind of problem. And now all of a sudden he is separated from his family. And I'll ask sometimes, so far away from home, living in a place where there's a few people that speak Spanish, but not the Spanish he speaks, because he's from way down, and it's a different kind of language, got a different kind of dialect, different kind of accent, different kind of food. I mean, folks, they're eating chicken nuggets made from Swanson factory chicken nuggets, and they hadn't had tacos al pastor in years. I'm telling you that it's hard on those kids. And I'll ask them, I say, what, how you feeling today? And a kid looked at me not long ago, looked at me and said, man, I am so happy. I said, you're in a place you don't want to be, you're with people you don't want to be around, you're away from your family, you're having to do things you don't want to do. I said, what in the world makes you happy? He said, first time in my life I've been able to go to bed at night and sleep and know I'm safe. Because he hadn't been sleeping on the streets. They shut that door behind him. He does not mind. because now he's safe. He's got food to eat every day. And I thought, Rex, how sad, how pitiful I am. I get so accustomed to that, I forget just how good it is to be alive. There are reasons, in spite of the world we live in, to feel joy, to feel gladness, to give thanks. I think this psalm gives us some of those reasons. And that's where Rick was taking us and why I wanted to stop him for a second. I want you to look in Luke in Psalms 100, verse 3. There are going to be four things. There are going to be four things he says that he wants us to know. I want you to know these things, he says, because if you know these things, you will find that gladness. If you know these things, you will find that joy. If you know these things, you will worship him with gladness. If you find these, know these things, you will be able to shout for joy in spite of what's going on in your life. First one, know that the Lord is God. Underline it. Circle. What do you say, Rick? Underline it.
Circle it.
And now Rick's got a highlighter. He's adding one more. You underline it. You circle it. You highlight it. And I'd encourage you that one. Tattoo it on your forehead backwards so when you look in the mirror, you can read that sucker. The Lord is God. Say it. The Lord is God. Now, the reason that makes such a simple but profound point is you and I have spent our lives letting other people be our gods. Right? Some of you have let people in a bad relationship, a toxic relationship, be your god. Some of you have let bosses become your God. Some of you have let your children become your God. Some of you have let your substance of choice become your God. Right? Who is God? The Lord is God. That guy that's beating you up is not your God. That child that is abusing you is not your God. That parent that's abusing you, that is not your God. The person that's evil to you, mean to you, nasty to you, neglects you, ignores you, avoids you, he is not your God. So when it happens, and it'll happen, when somebody hurts you, you turn toward God because the Lord is God. Not that fella, not that lady, not that kid, not that parent, not that boss, not that policeman, not that judge, not that lawyer. Make sense? The Lord is God. Say it. Now, just to make sure we got a grip on what that means, is that next little saying there in verse 3. Okay, this is not the four things. It's just things he wants to... The Lord is God. It is he who made us. And we are his. And we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. There's three things there. There's three things that fit under that thought of the Lord, he is God. All right? He made us, y'all. Now, hang on a second. I got to trust some of you who've been reading your Bible a little bit. In this book we call Psalms, in one of the Psalms that we've read together, we've done it on Sundays, we've done it on Wednesdays, and we've done it a few hundred times sitting in my office. There is a Psalm that says the God that makes us, say it, wonderful and precious. We are made by God that way. So hang on. If the Lord is God and he's the one who made us, guess what? If God says I am wonderful, if God says I am precious, if God looks at me and says good, then that settles it, y'all. Now hang on. That settles it. But you're going, yes, that's a good point. That's a very good point. I need to write that down, circle it, and get my highlighter. Yeah. And you don't believe it. That's why you'll stick in a relationship with somebody who doesn't treat you good. Because you think that fellow, that lady is God, not the Lord our God is God. The Lord is God. And He made you. And He made you good. He made you wonderful. He made you precious. He has a plan for you. And if you're hooked up with, and I said the right word, if you are hooked up with somebody, or if you're stuck to somebody, or if you're trapped by somebody, I'll let you pick the word. If you are stuck with somebody, trapped with somebody, hooked up with somebody, and they don't treat you as good, they are not of God. Right? Make sense? Then why would you stick with that relationship? The Lord is God and He made us. Now keep reading. He said, and we are His. We are His people. We are His sheep. Somebody, just from your own heart, tell me what it means to belong. And I tell you what I'd like. Making no claim about this place, but I've heard you, some of you talk about it. Somebody tell me what it means to you. What it means to you to have a place like this, to have people like this, where when you walk in, you know you belong. You're counted as if you belong. Somebody tell me. Feels comfortable. All right, you don't feel awkward. You don't feel in the way.
Family.
You feel family. Now, hang on. See, when you say family to me, I can get all goosebumpy. Because, man, I got a family that you cannot believe. I'm serious. And you know, those of you who know my dad, those of you who knew my mother, knew exactly what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, when folks say home and folks say family, that's the picture. Some of you did not have that kind of family. We're going to be honest in here, right? Some of us didn't have that kind of family. So the thought of family doesn't register that kind of feeling. But when you think about family like it ought to be, it registers that kind of feeling. What does it mean to belong? What does it mean to be His? What does it mean to be His? Go ahead, Philip. Privilege.
When you're tired and confused and not certain, He lifts you.
All right. How's He do that?
Just people coming over.
Give me a person. Take a deep breath.
Everybody.
No, name one. You can just point to him and I'll tell you. I know you forgot the name. I do it all the time. You talking about Brad?
The next one.
Aaron? You talking about Aaron? Yeah.
I walk in, or she walks in, and if she comes in after me, or I come in, she just comes up to you and gives you a hug. And I mean, you're.
All right. Who does that for you here? We're going to spin right here. Who does that for you?
I usually come in late.
Yeah. Who makes you feel that way?
Darla.
Darla does. Who makes you feel that way, Richard?
Brad.
Who makes you feel that way, Candy? Catherine. Who makes you feel that way, Catherine?
Lisa, Sherry, Ruby.
Okay, that's enough. All right, yeah. Who makes you feel that way, Teresa?
Eloise.
Eloise, who makes you feel that way? Everybody. You got to name one. Darla. Darla, who makes you feel that way?
Well, everybody.
You can't say everybody. We'll shut that conversation down. All right, that's a way to stop the conversation. The point is, when you belong to God, how does that make you feel? Privileged, loved, not rejected. When you belong to God, you feel safe. The Lord is God, and He made us, and we are His. You are not that guy's. You are not that ladies. You are not that bosses. You are not that judges. You are not, no. You are not that kid. You're not that parents. You belong to God. And you are the sheep of His pasture. And I love that picture. Not big on sheep in a pasture. Never saw many of those except driving by them. But I watched my dad with his cows in the pasture. What's the idea of pasture? Those of us who grew up on a farm, grew up around them. What does it mean to have a cow, have a sheep in a pasture? Say it again.
They have everything
they need. Now, are there times I want more? Yeah, shame on me. Sometimes I want, and there's no end to that. But did you? You breathing? Your heart beating? Did you have a good supper? Yeah. Find people be nice to you? That's enough for now, isn't it? He will take care of us, and He's been taking care of us a long time. And some of us have been taken so care of so well, we've gotten kind of fat and sassy, literally. And some of us have struggled so hard that it's hard to notice that He's taking care of us. But you're still breathing, your heart's still beating, you had a good supper, you're in a safe place. The Lord is God. Say it.
The Lord is God.
And He made us. We belong to Him. And He takes care of us in His pasture. Now look at the next thing He wants you to know about Him. Verse 5. The Lord is good. Folks, that's why we do our exercise at the beginning. I don't know how many Wednesday nights we do it. We've made some adjustments. I don't tell you the day of the week anymore when I get started, because it's getting too hard to remember. So but every Wednesday night for as long as I can remember, we've said, somebody tell me something good. And in spite of the fact that part of it might start off bad, at some point we finally figure out something good in there. The reason we do that, it's not to make light. And this is the truth. Some of us have had some rough times. Some of us had some rough days. Today we had a rough day. Some of us have had a rough week. Some of us had a rough month. And there's folks sitting in this room that have had a rough life, just over and over again, things happening to them that they shouldn't have happened, but it happened. And yet you and I are told that God works all things together for good to them that love the Lord. And I believe it. You don't have to believe it to be here. You're welcome here. But I believe it. And because God says it, then I look for it. I look for it in my life. I look for it in your life. Look for the good God has done. I hate what happened to some of you. But I watch what God is doing through you for other people because of what you went through. And I have to shout for joy, enter His gates with thanksgiving. That not what for what you went through, but He saw you through it and worked it out for this kind of good. The Lord is God, and He is good. Say it.
The Lord is God,
and He is good.
He is good.
Look at the next phrase. His love endures forever. Okay, now I want you to say the word forever. Now, you know what that means? It means exactly what it says. There is no place, there is no time, there is no place, there is no time, there is no thing, there is no person that can invalidate, make void, veto the love of God. The love of God endures forever. So forever means, folks, it doesn't matter where you are. It does not matter where you are. It doesn't matter how you got from where you are now to where you are then. You are within the love of God. But what does the word endures mean? Just kick that around for a second. What's the word endures mean?
It's through the hard times.
Through the hard times. And hang on. What hard times?
Anything.
The love. We're talking about the God, love of God. The love of God endures. What does that mean? Say it again.
Even when we
mess up. See, he's not. Oh, I'm getting so tired of loving these people. No. He doesn't roll his eyes, he doesn't tap his foot, doesn't fold his arm, doesn't go. like some of you mamas do. No. His love endures. You made silly decisions. You made selfish decisions. You ever take the very good thing that God gave you and make a mess of it? Yeah. And His love endures forever. If you got a pencil, you want to write down Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There's a statement made at the very end of the chapter that says, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life... Hang on, guys, that covers it, right? Or principalities or powers, things present or things to come, height or depth or any other creature. You got angels, demons, mother-in-laws and sisters. You got brothers and friends. You got your best friend, you got your worst enemy. Nothing, he says, nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Underline it, circle it, highlight it, hold on to it. The love of God endures, y'all, and it endures forever. Yeah, but Rex, you don't understand. You don't know how many times I've messed up. We're not keeping score, I hope. He's not either. His love endures forever. Let's. I don't know if we can do this. Somebody tell me how many years did you waste in your addiction? How many years did you waste in your selfishness?
22.
3. How many years did you waste in your addiction? 18. 20? 15? 35? 35? How many years did you waste?
5.
How many years did you waste? 3. And it doesn't matter if it was 3 minutes or 35 years or longer. That doesn't come close to forever. His love endures forever. Well, Rex, you don't know, man. You don't know how much I did. His love endures forever. Yeah, but you don't understand how many people I've hurt. His love endures forever. That's why he uses the word endures, y'all. This is not an easy deal for us. He will endure. Whatever happens to you, whenever it happens, your fault or somebody else's fault. His love endures forever. Say it. His love endures forever. One more time. His love endures forever. So who is this? The Lord is God, and He is good. Now start again so everybody can get in. The Lord is God, and He is good, and His love endures forever. And His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. What does faithfulness mean? Keeps His promises. Does what He said. Early in the world, before there was a man even around to hear Him say it, before Eve could ever benefit from it, He said, I think I'm going to have this seed bring forth fruit after its kind. And I tell you what I think I'll do is I think I'll have these animals bring forth fruit seed after their kind. Huh. So much so is that true, so much so is that obvious that we call it a law of nature. And truth is, it is a law of Almighty God. You plant cotton, you get cotton. You plant potatoes, you get potatoes. You plant tomatoes, you get tomatoes or tomatoes. You plant whatever you plant, you get that fruit. That's what God promised. Kittens have kittens. There's enough of that. Sorry. Dogs have dogs. Cows have cows. People have people. That's the faithfulness of God, y'all. So if he kept his promise all that time, do you think he's going to break his promise to you? So hear him say that promise to us. Don't be deceived. In other words, don't get fooled. God is not mocked. You can't mock him. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Now, some of us understand that by experience. We sowed foolishness and we reaped the consequences of foolishness. But we learned, I don't want to live that way, so we turned around and we started planting seeds of right living and self-control and faithful, trusting in Jesus and loving our mates. And what happened? He spoils us. He keeps his promise to all generations. What was true of my father's generation is true of mine, be true of my sons, be true of my grandsons. It'll be true of the children that are not yet born, because God is faithful. The Lord is God, and he is good. Let's all get it together. The Lord is God, and he is good. And his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues. Say that word, continues. Continues. And it's throughout all generations, y'all. It continues. And you just put a dot, 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 because it'll just keep going. It's not going to change. So wherever you are tonight in your heart, wherever you are in your life, if you're in the midst of a trauma that you created it. Remember, it's the Lord who is God, not you. The Lord who is God, not your special someone. The Lord is God, not your children. The Lord is God, not your parents. The Lord is God, not your lawyer, not your judge, not your... No, no, no. The Lord is God, not your best friend, not your worst enemy. The Lord is God, and if he is God, that means you're not him. The Lord is God. And in this moment, if you're suffering because of your own mess, or the mess that somebody else may have made, while it may be hard to hold on to, believe it. Not only is the Lord God, he is good. He is good. It's as simple and as profound as creation. When he made light, it was good. When he made sun, moon, and stars, it was good. When he made birds and fish, especially fried chicken birds, it's good. The Lord is God. The Lord is God, and he is good. One I want you to remember most of all, though. One I want you to remember most of all. His love endures forever. People will swear they love you and they'll quit. People will swear they love you and deny you, betray you, do damage to you. But when the Lord loves you, it endures forever. Right? Let's speak the blessing. It'll be our prayer. For the Lord is good, say it.
The Lord is good.
And his love endures forever. Together with me. The Lord is good. With me. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. One more time, all together. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. And that applies even to folks like us. Right? All right. Thanks, folks.